This lecture is for Unit 1, Basic Computing Concepts, including History. This is the first unit in Component 4, Introduction to Information and Computer Science. Now, the option for a computer system looking at laptops with a budget of under $1,000, the options are a bit different. Laptops are usually less powerful, have less storage and memory than a similarly priced desktop. And this is just the price you pay for portability. The form factor of a laptop is much smaller and slimmer than that of a desktop, so everything that's in it has to be smaller as well. You have to look at what size monitor you want for your laptop. The most popular monitor size for a laptop today is 15 inches. Most have at least dual-core processors. It's unusual for them to have more than that, however. And some cheap netbooks might actually only have a single processor. There's usually a bit less RAM, a bit less disk space, hard drive disk space on a laptop, but you can still get a DVD burner within a laptop. Now, the hard drive on a laptop comes in a couple different options. First of all, you can have the traditional hard disk drive, which is the least expensive option. It has a moving platter, very similar to, say, a record player, which means it has moving parts and that generates heat as it spins, so your laptop has to spend a fair amount of power trying to cool it down. Solid-state drives are new options for hard drives, and they've become available on laptops now, much more so than desktops. The advantage to the solid-state drive is that there are no moving parts, which makes it much cooler. It's really good for laptops, so that it doesn't need as much fan power to cool it, and it saves on your battery life. And it can be, the solid-state drives can be faster in some cases, but they're always more expensive than a traditional hard disk drive. Optical drives such as DVDs and CDs are no longer standard on laptops today, but of course you can still add them as an option. The reason that they're not standard as much anymore is that the idea is that people are downloading movies and videos and music more often than they were before. It's still useful, though, to have one on your laptop. It's convenient for installing software and for watching movies or listening to CDs. Also, on higher-end laptops, Blu-ray drives are available. Connecting to a network with a laptop can be done in various ways, and it's very similar to a desktop. Like a desktop, there are ports for modem and for Ethernet. Most laptops today have built-in wireless, and some even have Bluetooth available. Also, for users who are often in places where an Ethernet or Wi-Fi connection isn't available, there is a mobile broadband antenna that can be used to connect to the Internet. A docking station is very useful for a laptop user if you plan to use a laptop at a desk connecting to a separate monitor, keyboard, and mouse. These peripherals all connect to the docking station, and the laptop connects to the docking station with just one connection. So you don't then have to plug in each separate cable to the laptop every time you want to connect to this desk on the desk. The docking station is specific to the make and model of your laptop, so you want to make sure you get one that will work for your particular laptop. For convenience, some people find it useful to purchase an extra battery so that then they can prolong the time that they're able to use the laptop without charging. Also, a travel mouse can make using the laptop easier on the go. So usually these travel mouses are they're usually wireless, and they can just sit next to you on you know, a desk or something as you're using your laptop, and it provides mouse capability. We just discussed the setup for a general laptop. Other laptops fall into other categories. The smallest laptops are called netbooks and ultra-portables. They have displays that range from 9 to 12 inch. They don't have any optical drives. They only have a single-core processor. but their price is very low. They can be as little as $300 for a netbook and range up to $800 for an ultra-portable. They're very good for simple tasks such as email and word processing, but they can't handle a heavier workload or play movies like a general laptop can. The next step up are the thin and lights, and they have 13-inch displays. They usually have a dual-core processor. A MacBook is a good example of a thin and light, and they're around $1,000 at the most. And on the other end of the spectrum, there are laptops that can be used as desktop replacements. And they have much larger screens, usually 17 to 20-inch displays, and contain features similar to desktops. They can have a DVD, Blu-ray drive, separate video card, a fast CPU. But because these systems are much more compute intensive, they have a lower battery life. And they also are the most expensive. So they can be $1,300 and up. They are not really intended to be as mobile as the lighter laptops are. They're usually pretty heavy, but they do allow someone who really needs sort of the full capability of a desktop, but to have somehow portability by having an actual laptop that can be moved. There are some other things you need to consider for both laptops and desktops, basically for any PC. For all PCs, laptops, and desktops, there is usually a one-year warranty for parts and labor with extended warranties available. Be sure that you read the fine print about how the repairs work. Some will send a repair person to you. Others require you to drop off or ship the computer back to be repaired. If the latter is the case, you will need to keep the boxes in order to keep the warranty valid. Sometimes they'll only honor the warranty if the parts are shipped back in the original box that it came in. You will also want internet access. This can be through cable, DSL, which is digital subscriber line, Fios, which is fiber optic service. This is fiber optic communication line that bundles phone, cable, and the internet. And it really just depends on what's available in your area. Most PCs still have dial-up modems available as well, but these aren't obviously a very fast connection. For any PC that you purchase, you want to make sure you have security software. Some OSs, such as Windows 7, ship with some security software with them. For example, Windows 7 has Defender. But you really want to add more from other vendors such as Norton or McAfee. And you want to make sure that what you choose has antiviral, anti-spyware, anti-adware, and that it's easily updatable. Because since a lot of these threats to your computer are constantly evolving, you have to make sure that your security software updates frequently. There are free versions available of these types of software, but they're generally not as good as the software that you pay for, and they don't make any guarantees. In the case of computer failure, you want to make sure that you have your system backed up. Professional versions of operating systems provide backing up capabilities, but home versions don't usually. There is software out there that makes it easier to back up and restore your system. Some of it's actually free. You can back up to an external hard drive or a DVD and do this periodically. Also, there are online services that you can subscribe to that will back up your system for you. And this can be very advantageous for any business situation where you're required to keep a backup both locally and off-site. And by definition, any online service would have your data and your systems backed up off-site. The computer systems that are needed for healthcare applications really depend on the software that you're using, so you really must read the requirements of the software that you're purchasing. Most EMRs and AHRs use the client-server model, where the server hosts the application, which often includes a database, and a local machine, such as the client, runs the application where it's needed, such as in the exam room. For this model, you would need a server that's going to actually hold your software and have multiple client PCs that are going to actually run the application where it's needed and have a network that connects it all together. Selecting a server really depends on the application requirements and the number of users that are going to be supported by the system. Some systems can only handle a maximum number of users, so additional servers may need to be purchased. A server usually contains the highest-end processor, which is multi-core. It contains a large amount of RAM, which ensures that many programs and processes can be run at once. It also needs a large amount of storage, which is usually implemented as a RAID, which is a redundant array of independent disks, which is a way to ensure data isn't lost in case of disk failure. Also, the server needs to have connections to a fast network and to have multiple of these connections. Depending on your application, you may also need to install a database and/or a web server on your server, which will also help dictate what the requirements are for the server that you need. Now, the client PCs are going to be the machines that actually run the application where it's needed, for example, in the exam room. You have a couple options for this. You can use desktops for users who are usually at their desks, and for exam rooms where there's enough room to install a desktop. The desktops aren't going to need wireless connections since presumably they can connect through an Ethernet connection and cable to the network. They're usually plugged into a wall, so you don't have to consider anything about battery life. Now, some situations, laptops, netbooks, tablets might be another way of using of implementing a client PC. In this scenario, the user, who might be a physician or nurse, has his or her own computer that they take with them, which means you don't have to use up space in an exam room for a desktop, but it does require that you have wireless for your network connection, and you also have to consider the battery life, making sure that you have options for the laptop or the tablet being charged for most of the day. You may have other needs as well. Often, offices will need scanners for inputting data into the EMR. Typically, medical offices need small footprint reliable scanners. These are scanners that also may need to scan in insurance or ID cards, and they may also need to sit at a reception desk. Also, you really need backup systems for any type of electronic medical record. Servers can be backed up using hard drives or tapes. There's way too much data for a DVD. And you also may need to do two backups, one that's on site and one that's off site. Internet access is important whether the network has wireless or Ethernet connections. You will need to select an Internet service provider and make sure you have a connection to it. Security is really important as well. You want to make sure that you have someone who is an expert in this area who can set up a network firewall and have security software available on the servers and all of the client PCs. Before you select any type of computer, whether it's a desktop, a laptop, or a server, it's important that you read up on the latest technologies. Several magazines and online sites provide up-to-date reviews, buying guides, etc. A lot of times, these reviews and buying guides will have much more information available than what you can actually find by looking on the box of whatever the product is that you're buying. And remember, too, that things change very quickly in the computer world. Even if you research computers a year ago or even 6 months ago, you want to check for updated reviews and information. There are always new products coming out, and you want to be aware of what the new options are, especially when you consider your budget, because as new products come out, prices change. A lot of times prices will drop on systems, so you'll want to make sure you have a good idea of what your money can buy. And here is just a list of some online sites that provide the latest information, and you can, you know, look at any of these to try, or all of them, to try and find the best information for whatever you're selecting and whatever your needs are. So a summary for selecting computers. Remember to keep these things in mind when selecting a computer. Make sure you know your needs. Don't buy a computer that's outfitted with the latest and greatest for video games if you plan on doing word processing and email. Set your budget and stick to it. It's very easy to be attracted to the latest and greatest releases that are very expensive. Remember, the cheaper computers today were once the latest and greatest, often less than a year ago, and are usually more than sufficient for your needs. Make sure you understand your computer terms, like processor speed is in hertz, the amount of storage space is in terms of bytes and gigabytes and terabytes, so that you can really understand the specs of the computer that you're evaluating. Always make sure you research your latest products. Make sure you read up-to-date reviews, and the best place, best and easiest place for finding these is online.